podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
Hello there. So it was another weekend of disappointment, elation, many goals for the opposition team, and at least one manager is now headed for the exit. But enough about my FPL fortunes this week. Game week 15 comprised massive swings due to the server again outing, which led to more panic decision-making and a few addled outcomes as a result. After missing last week, Lucy's back, and she's made up for her absence last time by recording two pods this week. Yes, this is the second of her podcasting stint. She was also on with our friends at Above Average FPL last night. Definitely check that out. Welcome back, Lucy. You all right?
Hello. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. I'm relieved to say that my husband has managed to stay out of the minor injury unit this week, so I am able to return to action, although I am looking over my shoulder after Sam's brilliant work last week. I hope for those of you that tuned in last night, I don't repeat myself too much, although the server rant is inevitable, so I do apologise in advance. We are Who Got the Assist. You can find Tom on the main account at WGTA_FPL, and you can find me, Lucy, at Lucy Hynett with two T's. On the pod today, we'll be having a slightly shorter episode than normal, as there's just 1 week to go. We'll begin with a brief update on where we are and a rumination on how things have gone so wrong after a strong start. And after a mini-league update and market forces briefing, we'll look at those precious one-week punts for game week 16. Just so you're aware, we're recording in the evening of Monday the 7th of November. No Monday night football this week, so we're all up to speed.
Yes, indeed. So as Lucy mentioned, a bit of a shorter pod tonight due to the context, really. You know, with one game week to go and all thought necessarily trained towards that, any longer form discussion feels best left to next week in our last pod of this first half. Let's start with the game reviews then. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned there's your server rant on Above Average, and it's definitely the truth for me too. I've kind of gotten a bit bored of talking about it or hearing about it already. Like, the whole thing just feels unnecessary in the extreme, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like we go through the cycle ever so often because they never do anything about it. And I think it's prompted a lot of conversations about what we could do to change it. Could the deadline move? Could they upgrade their servers for once? But ultimately, it feels a bit futile, doesn't it? Because it's never going to change and we're just going to be at the same point somewhere soon, probably this weekend, given the City of the early kickoff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just... Well, what I don't like about it is that it's such an emotive moment in a game where many of us are ultimately quite emotionally invested, and them not acknowledging it, as loads of people have already sort of picked up on, is clearly just poor. And yeah, there's also kind of the environment as well. Like, I know a lot of you aren't on Twitter, but online on Saturday, there was a lot of kind of mean-spiritedness, I think, from lots of observers out there, I guess. And I even saw it from Blue Ticks as well, almost taking the opportunity to stick the boot into FPL nerds. And it certainly just felt a bit unpleasant. But I mean, I've lost interest in any debate about the deadline. This should clearly be done just before kickoff, like most other fantasy sports games. I just wish people would be nicer and more compassionate to each other online sometimes. But you know, that's Elon Musk's world, isn't it? And I just think that's kind of magnified for me how much more rubbish the last few weeks have been. It's kind of been like the decisions have been taken out of my hands to some extent. And that's detracted from the enjoyment, the excitement or whatever about the game of FPL. Because all I'm thinking about this weekend, as you said, is that if news comes in, and there's something changes, so Haaland's not in the team or not starting again, for example, it just feels like it's just going to taint that sort of start. So maybe it's me getting old, but you know, a few weeks off in not very long feel like a very nice prospect. So yeah, not very long until the World Cup's here, and I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest. But yeah, looking on to game week reviews, I think that you'll probably see why. So yeah, 49 points for me, down to 61k from 29k in one fell swoop, so the fourth red arrow in a row. And after things kind of went well for the majority of the first half of the campaign, as we've spoken about, it just feels like the shoe's been on the other foot for the last few weeks. Like my adventure with the deadline was that I felt, well, okay, you know, Haaland's out, so I guess I just maybe go with Wilson because I think he had the best fixture to target. And you know, like everyone else out there, lots of refreshing, was trying to use FFM, the Android app, that got locked out, downloaded the official app, which I never used, but had to try to use that. Managed to change my captain. I also tried to change my first bench to Neco Williams over Pereira. I'm glad I didn't do that because it would have been even worse. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Captain Wilson wasn't good. I subbed at halftime feeling chesty. So I got the fixture right, but the player wrong, and all the other options I could have gone with. So Salah, who was my vice. I did talk about Trippier online a little bit. Haaland himself, all of those players returned. And Wilson obviously got subbed off at halftime, but at least Captain Cancelo. So that's a slight plus there. But yeah, overall, really poor game week with only Trippier, who everyone owns, Haaland, who everyone owns, Andreas with a lucky pen, and Salah, who everyone on Twitter seems to own, returning. Blanks elsewhere. And I think Pope conceding that pointless consolation right at the end of the Saints game probably topped it all off, really. The joke with Foden continues, so we'll speak about it in just a bit. So yeah, I mean, obviously I'm doing okay in context, and some would say I shouldn't be complaining too much at 61k. And I feel like back in the days when I was stuck at 500, 600k, I'd definitely be thinking that. But going through four red hours in a row, ultimately through things not going my way, but with good players, it just kind of, it does get a bit annoying. So the recent travails around the deadline in particular, as I've just mentioned, really were the straw that broke the camel's back a bit this week. And I was a bit more annoyed than I normally would be. That's for sure. How did your week go?
Well, it's a difficult one. So with no information on lineups, I would have got rid of Zaha. So I got lucky there because his 12-pointer was a very welcome one after a lot of frustration, as I've documented well on this podcast. With information, I wanted to make a double switch. So I was looking at -4. I wanted to do that very common switch that a lot of people on Twitter have made, which was going to be KDB and Alvarez in. Basically, I went through a very similar process you did, got to the app, still wasn't working. And I basically concluded that it would be incredibly risky for me to take -4 for a captain that I wasn't even sure I'd be able to get the armband onto. And that to me kind of negated the point of the -4. So I actually just spent the final 7 or 8 minutes just hammering the button, trying to do Foden to Rashford, because that seemed like something that would improve my team marginally without kind of potentially causing problems with captaincy and stuff. I kind of decided that I'd rather try and prioritise that transfer rather than moving the captaincy, because I felt that lots of people would have Haaland captain anyway, so I probably wasn't going to lose out that much by moving. So yeah, went for that. I was actually under the impression it hadn't worked because there was no kind of confirmation or anything from the app to say that it had happened. It turns out actually in retrospect that if you were getting a 400 error instead of a 502, a 400 is a, I can't remember, something that's, you know, developer-y. That turns out it worked, that works. So the 400s right, that I was seeing, that worked. So when I game updated, I now reloaded my team. Turns out that went through. That's marginally improved my score. It's another 59-pointer, two consecutive 59-pointers on a string of 50-somethings. I've got five consecutive 50-somethings. So I too have four red arrows in a row. The upside was Zaha, who finally did well, obviously had Salah like you did, didn't move that captaincy. So Haaland's 10-pointer worked out quite well. But unfortunately, I did have Neco Williams first on the bench, so Pereira's points were lodged. I've only taken a very small red arrow from 108 to 112, so that's not a disaster. And I kind of feel like after the initial frustration, it didn't go as badly as I thought it was going to go.
I think you can kind of take that, can't you? It's like drawing 2-2 in a game that you like. If you were 2-1 down and you kind of got the equaliser in the last minute, even though you're expected to win the game, like there's still something about that, that you the fans go home happy sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of see the positives. But yeah, I find it very difficult to see the positives. But yeah, at the time, like I remember, I think I texted you and you put up a lot of full stops on your text when you're angry. And I was just like, uh-oh. I'm raging full stop. I was like, oh, God. Stay away from her. But yeah,
it's good advice to stay away from me when I'm like that. Yeah.
Yeah, at least it worked out in the end to some extent. But yeah, no, definitely. It's been an interesting kind of 4 weeks, subjectively a little bit annoying, but I think in the absence of a kind of a full fat pod this week, I promise there'll be a longer wash up sort of pod next week, and also a quick exercise at wildcard drafting. I think, you know, given everything we've spoken about in the last few weeks, the pod's lurched from being kind of standalone episodes like The Next Generation, Star Trek, to a serialized story like Deep Space Nine. I think this time, I just wanted to talk about, could we have done anything different a little bit? And, you know, what do people who have done well do? Could we have countered it? Obviously, there's an element of hindsight FC here. And you might have been on the right side of all of this. And if so, well played. And obviously, yeah, I'm a little bit grumpy about it all. The flip side is I'm not suggesting that anyone who's done well has somehow gotten lucky or anything. It's just a bit annoying that my particular side of the tracks hasn't done well. So think about the powerlessness and talking about not holding your nerve who's done over the last few weeks. Next week, we'll look at more sort of macro level stuff about the first part of the season. But I think here, I think maybe it's worth picking out a few specific choices that people have made, which I didn't, or we didn't, I suppose, and worth discussing maybe to see if you maybe should have jumped on these bandwagons or taken a hit or something like that, or was trusting your team, as I suggested could be the case last week, ultimately the right thing to do. But the first thing, the first micro factor, I guess, in all this that I've picked up on is obviously getting in Almiron. So yeah, shades of Lingard all over again. He's up to 30% owned now. 2020-21, Jesse Lingard, 16 matches, 9 goals, 5 assists, 6.6 PPM. I think I only got on him pretty late. And Almiron has managed 68 goals and 68 goals, 68 points in the last 7 games.
It was like 68 goals.
It does. Yeah. Preposterous. And I think what's interesting about that is lots of us have marveled at that one in like the FPL engaged core. And there's a lot of people in the FPL community who have completely missed it, or at least perhaps looked down on it. We know we should get this guy, but we just haven't. And if you recognize and have got it, of course, you could speak about how the stats didn't point to it, yada, yada, yada. But points speak louder than stats in FPL. It's an interesting sort of case in point, because while the likes of Foden have done nothing and people like us, although under pressure, actively chose someone like Rashford, not going with someone like Almiron, who seemed like an obvious answer, despite all of the kind of drawbacks that he may have if you were overanalyzing, perhaps. Do you think he's a sort of character that maybe we could have, if we had our time again, paid more consideration to? Because I feel like we both kind of mentioned him a few times over the past few weeks, but there's never been any serious consideration given. Is that an FPL manager thing, just being like, oh, the bandwagon, it's gone, let's just move on to the next one?
I think we tend to focus quite a lot, and I think stats inevitably lean you that way, in the sense that you tend to look at kind of longer term pictures. You tend to look at players with track records. You tend to look at players that are, you know, so-called talismen. So I think that tends to lean you away from picking up on these bandwagons. And I think there was good reason, given that Almiron's been in the league for a fair few years now, to think that those returns wouldn't be sustainable. And I think actually just in general, there is a problem with understanding purple patches or form or whatever you want to call it. There is a problem with models kind of shaping to those and how we understand them. So I think given the way that you and I tend to look at FPL, I think it was sort of inevitable that we'd overlook it. And I also think there were other things that happened. So for example, we both had a natural segue to Wilson this week. If we hadn't, maybe would we have looked at Almiron differently this week? Potentially. I don't know. It obviously wasn't a good decision to ignore him, but I can understand why I did it. And I think it's probably likely that I would do it again, because what we never pick up on is those examples where a player scores 2 in a row, we ignore them, they don't score again. And that kind of goes by the wayside. We only ever notice the ones that we miss or that do fly. So yeah, it was probably the wrong decision, but it's not one that if it all happened again, I'd do exactly the same thing again. I don't know if that's bad or good.
Yeah, that's called survivorship bias. So focusing on the one thing which comes through a set of parameters and you just ignore all the other ones that don't. So there's a reason we remember the likes of Almiron, that we will remember the likes of Almiron, the likes of Jesse Lingard, the likes of Danny Ings, perhaps. The reason we remember them coming out of nowhere is just because of exactly that. Like, there's so many occasions where a player would score a couple of goals, everyone be on him like he's the best thing since sliced bread, and goes on to do absolutely nothing. For some reason, the name Theo Walcott is stuck in my head. I'm not sure why. Maybe because, no, that was when Richarlison got injured at Everton, I think it was, and everyone jumps for Walcott. Anyway, that's survivorship bias. And definitely it's true. It's just one of those things where I think about, you know, my sister who plays fairly avidly these days, I've gotten her into it. Like, she got Almiron like 3 or 4 weeks ago. She was like, oh, he's scoring. Everyone seems to be buying him in. Why not? And then there's me here sat kind of thinking, oh, if I do this to this, if I do this to this. And we said a few weeks ago, didn't we? Oh, I don't really have much of a plan. But even the fact I didn't have much of a plan was more of a plan than she had. And she just every week, you know, just looked at it and went, oh, okay, well, you know, I haven't really spent all week thinking about this nonsense. Well, this guy's not doing anything. I'm just going to get rid of him and put Almiron in. That wouldn't have been me. And it's just maybe a bit of an exemplification of how over-analysis, overthinking, or just being overly engaged with FPL can lead to some sense of overmanagement with regards to these players. And I think you're really right about the purple patches and models. Not that it would be a good thing that everyone would have picked up on this, but I think maybe there's a reason why it hasn't seemed to have figured in most people's thinking until now, when the OR suddenly gotten so big. And we see this every year with a certain player coming out of nowhere. I think there was a couple of years ago where Aaron Cresswell at West Ham suddenly ended up with like 35% ownership out of nowhere because he kept getting clean sheets and kept getting assists. And no one in the FPL community had mentioned it, but all of the kind of less engaged players had seen that this guy was doing it. And maybe it's just one of those anomalies. Almironomy? No, I can't say it. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it now as well.
Almironomy. I can't do it. Can't do it. Anyway, another one that I think I just want to bring up, and unfortunately, I think we've got to mention it, is KDB versus Foden.
Yeah,
So
I've got to mention it if you didn't.
so many people did it. I know it's not just us, and if you were the sort of person who didn't do this or foresaw that KDB slash Trossard weren't problems, then hats off to you. But yeah, KDB versus Foden, last 3 game weeks, KDB 27, Foden 3. That is opposed to 61 points for KDB versus 64 points for Foden in the previous 11. Just mad. And I can't really begin to even think about the loss there. I think what's really interesting with that one to some extent, and I don't know if the pitch is ever going to really come through, but there's an interesting tidbit from Pep a few weeks ago that was picked up by Chris Glover at PL Fantasy a little while ago. In terms of players who were holding back ahead of the World Cup, and Pep said, "A player will not play if I smell this. I'm very good at smelling this. Tactics not, but smelling, I'm very good." Pep Guardiola said of any player holding back to avoid injury. I just wonder, it does seem that he's been relegated from basically City goal scorer number two to bit part player, like spectacularly over the course of the last 3 weeks. And that can't be because Tom has bought him for his FPL team.
There's either something like that going on, or there's some kind of disciplinary issue. I don't think it comes down to simply to fatigue. I think when there was one benching, you could put it down to that, and maybe a push two. But at three, there is clearly something going on. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a curse, as some people like to tell themselves they have a curse, an FPL curse. There is no FPL curse. It just so happens that you managed to buy Foden on exactly the same week that, for whatever reason, he annoyed, offended, irritated Pep Guardiola, and that has ultimately killed your FPL team. And at the same time, Kevin De Bruyne has just carried on like the train that he is. So yeah, that's quite a bitter pill to swallow, it has to be said. We've managed to go through a period of not really getting maximum value out of KDB and then switching to someone that doesn't play football, which really isn't very good. It's very difficult to predict. So I, again, I'm not feeling too much like it was the wrong thing to do. I don't know how we could have possibly predicted what happened behind the scenes, whatever that was. So another just bad bit of luck. It's a game of variance. So that's what happens, unfortunately. There are a few things I think I could have done better, actually. And I did want to pick up on them. One is my defensive picks have been diabolical, like I should be locked up. The Irish guy, go on to do it for me, did the name for me.
The artist formerly known as Matt Doherty.
Terrible idea. Don't know why I did it. Didn't even like it at the time and did it anyway. It was just on the whim of 2 games whether he might get something and he didn't. And thereafter, he's been a 90-minute headache the whole time. I've also kept Nico Williams, who also turned into a headache. And I've bought in Anderson from a defence I don't even rate. So I will definitely review my policy on defenders, particularly the cheap ones, when it comes to resetting my squad, because I want to have players that I can depend on that I'm not worrying about and that I'm confident will play the full, well, not full 90, but at least 70, which I didn't have confidence with those players at all. So I would change that.
No, I got something very similar to that about the defence, specifically Arsenal defence, because we both ditched our Arsenal assets in game week 8. I ditched Gabriel and you ditched Saliba. Since game week 8, we ditched them, and I think there's definite cause to have done this. They had Spurs and Liverpool in quick succession after that, but they did have a Brentford game first, and Saliba got 15 points in that
Don't
game.
remind me again, Tom. That's
Yeah, I know.
cruel.
I know. But for the whole period, they've managed 4 clean sheets and 7. They both clinched 15 pointers. Gabriel, who's missed out on the Brazil squad, sadly, got his 15 points against Chelsea this week. And Saliba's still been on 33% ownership the whole time. And I just think that that kind of feeds into it because I did the same, got rid of Gabriel. I do think it did make sense, but I think I was too slow to jump back on them. And also, I was preaching about not throwing the baby out the bathwater too much on the wild card. I think to some extent I did do that at the Arsenal defence. Not so much with Gabriel Jesus. He's not scored since game week eight, but he has registered still 3.6 points per game since then, which still gives a bit of an erosive floor, I suppose, to my game week ranks, scores, and game any kind of gains I've had. And that, mixed in with the likes of Tony and Mitrovic being really, really inconsistent, has meant that selling him for a sunlit uplands of alternatives hasn't really worked out. But yeah, I think the Arsenal defence was definitely something week to week that has become painfully obviously a bit of a sort of a rank threat. And maybe you're right. In fact, you're definitely right that the likes of buying in
Matt Doherty,
buying in Anderson or something, that's just not been a great idea. But equally, you know, if we'd have bought someone like Castagna, we'd be laughing right now. So it's really swings and roundabouts and just trying to get that right, because that blow would have been lessened a bit, wouldn't it? If we got to Castagna and got his, 40 points over the last 7 weeks, we'd both be thinking we were geniuses.
That is true. Castagna is never a me pick, though, so I don't feel bad about that. It's the, as you said, the stuff like moving off Arsenal and never getting them back. That to me sounds like a terrible idea. I think I will have an Arsenal defender. I don't want to give too much away with regards to next week. I think it's pretty likely I'll have an Arsenal defender after the break, because particularly with Gabriel not going to the World Cup, it makes a lot of sense. And I think, yeah, being a bit more sensible with those picks and not trying to go for these like high ceiling, supposedly high ceiling defenders, and just stick with what works, because in the end, that's what your 4.5 defenders or 5 million defenders are there to do. So
yeah, lost sight of the idea that we need somebody. I mean, Anderson is that sort of pick, isn't it? It did get a clean sheet last week, to be fair. And one of those players who is a 90-minute man, that's what he's there for. And losing sight of that perhaps is a bit of a problem. I don't know. And the other thing, the only other thing I could think of was ignoring Kane. So I mentioned him a few weeks ago as a player who many owners would probably be quite happy if he was kept secret, thank you very much. Because even though Salah's only 11 points behind him now, there's only been 3 blanks all season for the England captain, which means that week to week, he's the better option, because he'd have given you a higher floor every damn week compared to what we had, and more consistent higher floor to your game week. Your rank would have been better. Maybe it was one of those where he was probably the better option to put your money into all those weeks ago. But equally, I wonder whether that's too much on the side of hindsight. And maybe it is one of those where Salah probably was a good enough bet, because at the end of the day, he does have what we were talking about with Almiron, that track record of being worth the money. It's just that Kane happens to have done better than him on a week-to-week basis.
I'd agree with that, yes. Speaking of Kane and Salah and KDB and all that, I think there are going to be some interesting decisions around premium players when it comes to post-break, because I think there's quite a lot of complexity to that, as you've just clarified, and I don't think there are necessarily obvious answers to those questions. You know, it's Haaland and who else? So I think that's going to be quite an interesting one. I think there could be quite a lot of deviation. When you kind of take a step away, I think it's quite difficult to make a clear case for any of them.
Okay. So if we think maybe Almiron maybe could have fought again, but obviously quite difficult to make the case for him being sustainable. Foden, purely external shocks. So there's nothing, there's no XPP, expected pep pissed. Arsenal defence getting rid was uniformly silly, and we both deserve to be locked up for that. And Kane is just one of those where, you know, it's just not quite fallen our way. So yeah, I mean, I think that's probably 4 quite decent ones there, really. I mean, do you think that, just to round off the section, I know it's a bit of a short one, but do you think that you're going to play differently after the World Cup? I mean, you're never going to play differently after, are you, to be fair? That's probably the most ersatz question I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, do you reckon there are going to be any things you will try to do as a result of this? You mentioned, for example, getting an Arsenal defender, trying to revert back to stickability, classic Lucy picks. Is that still going to be the case after the World Cup, even more so?
Yeah, I think I lost sight of who I was, which is the ultimate dullard in FPL. So what I need to do is go back to being much more dull, even more dull than I was, and get some more defenders and make fewer transfers. So as if this podcast could not get any more exciting, it's just about to get there.
Yep, exactly. I mean, on the upside, you know, you're not far off. I'm still in the top 100K. Hopefully next week, barring not a catastrophe, things will be a green arrow, because we've, you know, cleverly given ourselves an avenue to get green arrows by getting enough red arrows that next week it becomes the XGA becomes absolutely massive. It's easy to get a green arrow as you fall down, rather than getting green arrow on top of another green arrow. Right. But yeah. Now, hopefully that was an interesting little look at a few different bits and pieces which have affected us. I'm sure some will one or some of them have affected you. And if you've avoided them all, congratulations, enjoy the stress ball. Be back in just a moment after the break to talk about 1 week punts. Give the people what they want, eh?
Who got the assist?
All right, we're back and we're into the Min League update very quickly. Top still is Dave Hughes with -4 this week. Sold Haaland for Alvarez and captained Alvarez, which is very good. Sold Edouard for Wilson, so he got 1 point bonus there. And sold Foden for De Bruyne. So I think Dave somehow got access to the servers. Maybe he was the server, who knows? But yes, Dave's 67 points this week, -4, means he tops the Min League by just 4 points at this moment in time. In second, up from sixth, it's Robin Hill, Jonathan Arquebus, who's been in the round top 10 for quite a while. A big 72-point score for him this week. Did do Tony Wilson like we did Captain Haaland, but still managed the 72. So very well done, Jonathan. And third, up from fourth, is Jantan Leather at Robin Smith. Captain Salah this week. It tells you all you need to know, really, behind his 70. In third, up from 28th, so joint with Robin, it's Matthew Winkler with Durham Scouse. 87 points this week. I really dislike you, Matthew, just on principle. I'm kidding. But 87 points this week for Matthew. That's a huge week for him. In fifth, down from second, it's Vladimir Rutsky with RSM PZD. 61 points for him. Sold Saka to Martinelli in order to bring in Trossard for Antony. No, didn't need to do that. Okay, some interesting moves by Vladimir there in addition to his bench boost last week. But 61 points for Vladimir. Still a decent score this week. We're not enough to see him retain his second spot. In sixth down from third, it's last week's third place man, Harry Liu. Haaland captain did Zaha to Trossard, so a negative outcome there, but still 6-7 points for Harry this week. In seventh, staying in seventh, is Matthew Little Horse 11, 64 points for him. Sold Kane for Solanke in order to buy De Bruyne, but he did sell Zaha to do so. So swings and roundabouts there a little bit for Matthew. In eighth, up from 10th, it's Lewis Gambi. Haaland this week and Almiron owner. Sold Saka to Barnes, which is quite an interesting shout. Got a goal this week, I believe, Harvey Barnes. So 66 points for him. And joint eighth, actually. Clem Fandango is James McSweeney. 72 points for him this week. Rolled his transfer up from 18th. And in joint 10th, two risers, box divers Gareth Kells, 74 points for Gareth, and also Mario Baker, Haaland in the points, also 75. So yeah, very similar scores, lots of very good scores in the upper reaches. I was once on the first page, Lucy, of the Min League. I was once in the top 100. How the mighty have fallen, or probably the pride before the fall was probably a more apt description. Right, market forces time. It's happened. Almiron has finally hit critical mass. Mass adoption. 202,000 transfers in for the Newcastle man. The main person making way for him is Phil Foden. Shockingly, 193,000 have sold Foden to buy Almiron. And that certainly makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? As we've spoken about, loads of people just not thinking about the bandwagon kind of paradox that's on our minds. Just going, yeah, he's scoring. Foden isn't doing anything. I'm just going to do that straight away.
The most depressing thing about this Almiron thing is that we're now relying on Cucurella, who looked, frankly, almost drunk at the weekend, to stop us from experiencing more Almiron pain.
Yeah, it's not going to be good, is it, really? In second, in terms of players brought in, it is Haaland again. He's been brought in at the expense of Mitrovic and Jesus. So Haaland, 125,000 transfers in, Mitrovic.
So are these presumably people that sold him?
Yeah, must be people buying him back. I mean, fair play. I mean, I know quite a few people sold him for Alvarez, including Dave at the top of the league. So I think those people must have had like a 1 week sort of switcheroo going on with that. So I mean, fair play if he's gotten you the points.
I know. I think the majority of people that bought Alvarez were funding KDB, right? So are they now? They can't be getting rid of KDB, can they? So where are they getting the money from?
I saw lots of people who had done Haaland to Alvarez. And maybe
just a one move. Okay.
Yeah, fair play. Got the captain, didn't they? He got 9 points, so that's fine. And yeah, Mitrovic and Jesus, the ones to go. And loads of midfield move arounds, actually, in the top transfers in this week. So Trossard, 100,000 transfers in. Salah, 92,000. And Maddison, 89,000. And just rounding off the sales, Dalot sold by 100,000 managers. So he was the top brought in player, I think, last week. Even though he was on 4 yellow cards, promptly got his 5th yellow card and is now suspended in the next game, so it makes a lot of sense. And Cancelo, sold by 181,000 managers. Obviously, there's some reaction to him just getting a negative score. But I think there was a few tweets at the time that he was sent off that really confused the matter, because it used to be that the League Cup sucked up all suspensions, and now it's just if it's a straight red, then it still sucks up suspensions, but not 4 yellows. And I think that that's kind of why things, 5 yellows, sorry. And I think that that's kind of why things got a bit confused. And I think some people immediately thought, oh, Cancelo's out until after the World Cup now, so I'm going to get rid of him. But yeah, to be honest, he's not been doing very much recently, so I guess I can kind of see why you'd be getting rid of him. But yeah, maybe a bit of confusion on some people's parts there too. Saliba,
especially as they were late to put the Dalot suspension on, so maybe the people just didn't think that the suspensions were on there.
Yeah, maybe. Right, okay, and let's get to the Q&A this week to move on. And I didn't really take any questions this week. Well, I didn't take any questions.
So it's a Q&A where we've made the questions, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, they're fairly obvious. So I just didn't feel like it was worth it, really. It's just because it would just be the same questions. And it's not particularly difficult to intuit what those questions are. The first one is Tom, that WCA FPL, writes in. Tom and Lucy, what are the 1 week punts for game week 16? Can you tell me per position, except maybe for goalkeeper, because I haven't got any notes for those. should we start with strikers, Lucy? Because most people are probably going to be looking at Mitrovic principally and wondering, what the hell do I do with this guy?
Particularly as he might be in Serbia, which was some speculation at the weekend, which is an interesting one. I think that might allude to potentially losing some players, so World Cup anxiety. But, you know, moving on. I am probably myself going for Darwin Nunez. I appreciate, though, that that's not a particularly affordable move. So if you don't have a lot of cash in the bank, there are probably other options to look at. I saw Sam, who was on the pod last week, talking about Martial, which is far too punty for my liking. But if we are talking about punts and we're talking about, you know, differentials and risky picks, then I think Martial's a good one, particularly if you don't already have Rashford. But anyway, to talk about Nunez for a second, I think it's likely that we will have a manager at Southampton Football Club, but that appointment is clearly being made with eyes on the World Cup break. So it's going to take more than a few days to bring order. And I think Liverpool will probably make the most of it. And then to compound the chaos and confusion at our football club, we don't have a fit right back at the moment. Juan Larios, who is a left back, was playing right back in the last game and got injured. Carl Walker-Peters is injured. Tino Livramento is injured. So we're left with Ainsley Maitland-Niles potentially playing there, or Lianco playing there as he did against Arsenal. Neither of which are particularly comfortable. And obviously Nunez has predominantly been playing in that left channel for Liverpool. So he will be up against whoever is deputising. And I think that gives him even more reason for confidence. His stats are good. I suspect, Tom, you've made a note of his stats, have you?
Yeah, I suppose I have. Yeah, yeah, third for non-pen XG per 90, whatever that's worth. And I also saw he's top for shots per 90 and second for shots on target per 90 at Erling Haaland's first. But watch him play. Just
loves a shot, doesn't he?
Just does lots of shots. There's more shots than me at uni, frankly. and he's definitely in for me this week for Mitrovic. Well, almost definitely. But as you said, I'm affordable for some, but still on 10% owned just about. I think that, yeah, it's probably one of those where we're all going to be like, oh, we're making a nice exotic punt. And it's like that the Toy Story meme where there's one Buzz Lightyear and there's millions of Buzz Lightyears. And yeah, we're all kind of going, oh, look, we're all doing a sexy move for Darwin Nunez. And we look at it and we think, oh, actually, it was a natural selection for everybody. So there you go. Forwards generally have been rubbish, haven't they? Despite the recent mini resurgence. So we'll touch more on this next week. But yeah, Skamaka failing to perform for West Ham, for example. I think loads of people had their eye on him at one point. And it's, you know, we are looking at the likes of Tony Gloves, Martial versus Fulham. As you kind of inferred, Sam FPL Pricey, high on his appearance at WCA, and clearly just drunk. There's nothing to say about this except he's a total punt against the worst defence in the league according to expected goals against. And he's 0.7% owned. So it makes a lot of sense.
0.7? Yeah, that's a high differential. That doesn't make sense.
Uber differential.
Big differential. I guess also if you are wanting to replace Mitrovic and you don't necessarily have money in the bank, then actually the one player from this sort of tier who has looked any good is Dominic Solanke, and he is at home to Everton in the final week. So if you were really strapped cash, I would probably go there if you just want, you know, a cheap move and you don't have money to upgrade.
Yep. The only other one that I had vaguely in mind here is Wally Watkins at 7.1.
Who have they got finally?
They're away at Brighton. Brighton are a bit leakier with De Zerbi. And a fun fact for you, he's actually in the top 10 for non-pen XG this season somehow, Wally Watkins. 1.9% owned. And also an interesting fact, he's actually fifth for XG underperformance this season behind, Paddy Bamford, Danny Welbeck, Solly March and Gabriel Jesus. So, to the surprise of everybody, Ollie Watkins has not been the most accurate in terms of converting his chances. But, you know, you could have a one-week punt, especially with Unai seemingly uniting the team behind him. So who knows? Who knows? That could definitely be one. But yeah, I think Darwin for me. But if you're kind of casting around, you know, you could do worse than Watkins. You could do worse than Gloves. And you could do worse than Solanke. Actually, no, you couldn't because there's no one else below him in the price bracket because Edouard's injured. So, you know, it's forwards are crap. They really are. Right. Midfielders. There's obvious pickups. That Almiron bloke. Probably never Trossard. Probably is the case just by Almiron, isn't it, Lucy? I mean, anyone that you've kind of picked up on here?
Well, I don't want to sound like a massive hypocrite, given that I was going to sell him last week. But Wilf Zaha did play centrally last week because Edouard has been out. If Edouard is still out, I still like him away. I think Zaha away at Forest is a good pick. And I also think Eze probably hasn't got as much attention in FPL circles as he should have. He's only 5.7, I think. So quite a good one if you maybe already have Almiron or for whatever reason tripled up on Newcastle and can't get to Almiron. I don't think there's much wrong with that as a pick either. Those were the two I want to say. Midfielders also potentially, if you really want to punt, Kulusevski versus Leeds. Came on against Liverpool, looked quite good.
Got an assist straight away, didn't he?
Yeah, I think there are worse options than that. And Leeds always look like they're going to leak goals. So, yeah, those were the ones I had.
Fair enough. I mean, I did have a Madison versus Moyes and West Ham. I think Moyes' seat has become a lot hotter since the Palace game. That can't have been great. And Leicester have roared back from being crisis FC. I'm not sure it's being motivated to get on the plane. It's more being motivated to give a middle finger to not being on the plane for Madison. And then Leicester in general, you know, from being nowhere, the non-pen XG is now strongly mid-table. And he's a talisman for Leicester. So that could be one that you think about. As is Harvey Barnes. 3 goals in the last 4 games. 1.7% ownership. A similar non-pen XG to the likes of Bowen and Martinelli. So yeah, he's done very well this year, actually, quietly. Well, not very well, but well enough this year, quite quietly. Jared Bowen as well. He's actually sit for underperformance at the moment, actually. Behind Wally Watkins. So one that you could think about. And dare I say it, but continuing along the new manager bounce sort of under Emery, Leon Bailey.
I was about to say, it's another Villa player, isn't it?
Leon Bailey.
Calm down.
I know.
Away at Brighton, it's not that good.
I know. But, you know.
Leon Bailey, to be fair.
New manager bounce, Lucy. 4.2% owned. New manager bounce. We all love
him. He must be very cheap. How cheap is he at the moment?
God knows, like 4.8, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, so, you know, so even if you had a tiny bit of money in the bank and Barrera, maybe, you could get there just for a little fun punt.
It's 4.5. And do you know what? He's actually the second highest scoring Villa player. The reason I don't know that, I didn't know that before I just checked, is because I've not looked at Aston Villa since the start of the season.
No, well, I still haven't looked. At least you've looked now for reviewing punts. I'm astounded that they're even on any table.
they're even a team.
Yeah.
Rich for you to say as a Southampton fan. Fair, yada, tribal FPL football stuff. Anyway, and also I think it is worth mentioning, we both own Rashford. Him or Bruno against Fulham, who are the worst expected goals against team in the Premier League, could be decent.
Yeah, I did have Bruno actually and just overlooked that on my list. Sorry about that.
And there's also, as I said, in terms of buying in Rashford earlier on, the idea that you might be able to save some money with owning this guy, because I think that eventually he's going to be pretty popular. Obviously, there's no price rises on the World Cup wildcards. We'll be up this next week. But after the World Cup, Nottingham Forest at home, Wolves away, Bournemouth at home, assuming he's fit, I suspect he's going to be quite well liked. So if he does do well against that in Forest in 17, so we're really long terming our strategies here, but if he does well in that game, then he can make some money. Which
yeah, I mean, that was primarily why I bought him last week, when I had to kind of panic make a transfer for Foden, just on the basis that after the World Cup, I'll still want him. So I might as well go for that one. I think that makes plenty of sense.
Yep.
Even though there aren't going to be any price rises, so that's probably, you know.
Slightly... No, probably not. Probably won't do nothing. And defender-wise, I think there's two. Trent down to 90% owned, and definitely, you know, time could be nigh for him for a haul. And Robertson similarly at 4%. I've got nothing. I've got no data behind that. And if you have dredged up some data behind that, well played. But you should probably go and work for the government because that is massive sophistry. But yeah, I mean, but either of them could be decent. And the other one is probably Perisic.
That was who I had.
Front three at Spurs. Leeds at home, that's not bad at all, is it?
Yeah, and quite gettable. I guess for a lot of people, Trent and Robertson will be out of reach. So Perisic is the kind of easy one to get to if you are looking for a defender. I have to say, I'm not sure I would pick any defenders if you're looking for a kind of high ceiling option to try and maximise your points before the break. I probably wouldn't be looking there unless you have some kind of crisis at the back.
No. I think I'm probably, and we'll get onto this in a minute, and transferring captains, I'm just going to be letting my defence limp into the World Cup and target the punts forward, because at the end of the day, I think that's where you're going to get the highest upside. I mean, it leads on to a natural question from Tom at WGTA_FPL.
I think I know him.
Yeah, who said, dear Tom and Lucy, would you take a hit if you have a lot of issues? For example, if you own Mitro, Dallo, and you're fed up with Foden, et cetera, et cetera. Would you take a hit this week with 1 week for it to pay off? What do you reckon?
I mean, personally, no. But could I see a good argument for it? Yes, I could actually. Because there are enough kind of issues and absences and problems, and more so than I think we ever expected, especially if we've got like Dallo and Mitro, for me to think that you could get upside out of it. But obviously, I would never do it in a million years. That's my position.
I think that if you're relying on the likes of Neco Williams or something to come into your team, I mean, there's definitely a performing versus old club narrative about Andreas versus Man United, for example. So you might argue that you're probably okay with him playing. But I mean, if you are losing out on, like, a lot of your value has been lost by players you are missing, then I can kind of see why you do it. I mean, for us, we've got we both have Anderson, we both got
Matthew Doherty,
we both got Neco Williams, so we both got a defender, for example, that we could look at and go, hang on a minute, is it worth going for some upside here, or doing something with this, or finding a way to get Trent in for one of those players by removing someone like Mitrovic and, you know, doing a whole shuffle around? I mean, you could feasibly do that, but I said to Sam last week, and I said a few times, I'd love to see how often players score either above five on any given game week and above seven on any given game week. I think it must be single digit in terms of percentage points. And I think that that's what you're relying on, like, quite a lot of things going your way for it to work out. So I'm going to try not to, basically, to stop the bleeding. But I think I agree with Lucy. I can see why there would be a case to take a hit. I'm just not doing so. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And the final thing, and it's quite difficult to probably answer this, again, from Tom at WGTA_FPL. Oh, just won't leave us alone. How much will motivation and or lack thereof, people wanting to preserve themselves from injury pre-World Cup, be a factor this week? I mean, do you think this is going to be one of those weeks where we might see a lot of nil-nils, you know, low-scoring games, like 1-1s, because players are pulling out of tackles, not giving themselves, not kind of being motivated. That's a factor. I mean, it reminds me very much of kind of the now sort of slightly discredited on the beach idea. But I just wonder whether ahead of the World Cup, we might see a few players either not play at all due to something going on, or just there being some level of difference in terms of performance. I mean, probably it's an eye test thing, isn't it, rather than anything else. I mean, what do you think qualitatively it might be like this weekend?
I think people should brace themselves for the fact we may see, you know, a surprise absentee here and there. I don't think it should be such a factor that you try and, you know, beef up your bench or something to prevent against it, because I think it'll be such a so random that there's no way you'll know what to do. I think there has been a lot of speculation about Mitrovic, and I would be surprised if he plays, just because it seems like he might have an eye on the World Cup. I think in terms of it being a motivation for players, I think probably that ship sailed. I think you'd be looking at an absolute stormer of a game to put yourself, you know, you'd have to like a hat trick or something to put yourself in the reckoning if you weren't already there. I think it was the last few weeks that would have made a difference there. So I think that's probably gone. As to whether the how that has an impact on performances in terms of people preserving themselves and there's a lack of intensity, etc., it may be that it doesn't result in nil nils, but it results in 3-3s. So I don't know how it will go, because if people are pulling out tackles, maybe it's easier to score goals. So I think there's going to be some kind of quirky, weird aspects to this final week, because it is so unprecedented and unusual to have this break in the middle of the year that we don't really know how it's going to pan out. But I would prepare yourselves for a bit of weird swing and variance and things not quite going as we expect them to go. So yeah, I've kind of just sat on the fence again there, but you've got used to that by now.
Yeah. Well, Tom, whoever you are, I'm going to echo Elizabeth the First by saying I have no desire to make windows into men's souls. But I mean, it's all something that will come out in the wash, and you might be able to intuit the facts that your player didn't score, or your player didn't go for the diving header in the 93rd minute when he could have scored. So mean whatever you want it to mean. But I think this is one of those facile arguments which is going to be trotted out across the media and actually is just completely irrelevant and really annoying. You're an idiot, Tom. Right, let's move on to our teams this week, transfers and captains. And we both mentioned we're doing Mitro to Darwin, which is, yeah, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people will be doing it, but I'm sure, you know, from Southern Reese James, et cetera, there'll be loads of money floating around, which will probably mean people are able to do so, Lucy. Anything, I'm sure there's no sort of hit potential anywhere. We've both got, you know,
Matt Doherty.
We've both got Anderson. I think,
yeah, I haven't decided between those two. They could change. My goalkeepers could change. I haven't decided between those two either. So that's a thing. Bench order could easily change. I've basically got four players: Matt D, Nico Williams, Andreas, and Anderson. Don't really particularly want to play any of them, but I'll play one of them and reorder some of them in an order. I'm interested though that you've got Andreas first on your bench. Is that just by going by the theory that he might do something against his former club?
He might get a penalty.
Oh, a penalty. Oh no, I do quite like that theory. Okay, yeah. I also noticed that obviously you've got this Foden issue. How are we feeling about Foden? Will any leaks have any impact there?
Potentially. I mean, I haven't really got the wherewithal on the bench to count for Mitrovic not being around. I wouldn't be surprised if Mitrovic doesn't play this game against United either, because neither of them are games where I can imagine that the Fulham hierarchy give a crap about whether they win or lose. So could I be one of these people who takes a hit the last minute? Potentially. And maybe I should look at all of those midfield options that we spoke about earlier. And maybe I should kind of think, oh, you know what? Maybe I should be looking at a Maddison or something like that. I simply don't know at this point. And I don't know. I hope that this is the week where Foden bites back. But hey, who knows? But yeah, similar to you, basically across all of that, where it's just a case of choosing between those four players you mentioned and just hoping it kind of configures itself nicely with Darwin coming in. I don't know what I'm gonna, I don't know what I'll do about Foden. I really don't. It's one of those where I'd love to have an answer, but I think my answer is probably going to be a frenzied answer about 11 o'clock on Saturday when I'll be sat on the train, I think, which is going to be even more fun than normal.
Ooh, that's tense.
I know. Tell me about it. Oh well, I can just blame the tunnel for anything going wrong. Hang on, that's a Brexiteer argument. Anyway, and captaincies this week. It's Erling Haaland. Let's hope that things go back to normal, right?
I can't see. Anyway, it won't be unless we get a leak. In which case, I'm not going to get rid of him. I'm just going to Captain Salah instead.
I saw lots of people tweet on, oh, this looks. Oh, I'm going to try this on for size. Oh, felt cute. Might leave it there with a picture of Salah with the armband on. And I was just kind of like, but
It's
you know,
all plat, isn't it, at this stage?
not very long ago that we would have done that, wouldn't we? Really, or we'd be paying it
I
more
actually
mind.
forgot how to celebrate Salah's goals this weekend because I got so out of the habit of a Salah goal meaning anything in any way because it was in the old days where, everyone had him captain, the effective ownership of 190% or whatever. I kind of had lost that sense of Salah ever being a differential. So when I looked at live FPL and was like, oh, that's had a big impact because I didn't realize he was only 30% owned. That's
I know.
insane.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Very, very nice, isn't it? And hey, we shall see how it goes. And who knows? He could end up being our captain. We simply don't know at this point. Or Scott Wilson, a bit chesty. Think he'll be
He'll
back.
be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be all right. Right. And I think that is your lot.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We were Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter at WGTA underscore FPL and at Lucy Heine with two T's. If you enjoyed listening to the pod, please like and subscribe. And for new listeners out there, if you think you'll be coming back, please hit that 5-star rating across platforms like iTunes and Spotify so more people can enjoy the pod.
Yep, thanks everybody. The next London meetup for FPL Meets, I will be there. Not sure that will put people off or encourage them to go, but who knows? So if you listen to this, I'm sure it will be encouraging you. Hopefully it's not some sort of
I'm sure.
weird act of masochism. But it will be at the Thirsty Bear, Waterloo, 62 Stamford Street, obviously in London, this Saturday. All the televised games will be shown, so free games to get through. And we'll be there from, I guess, about midday, something like that. Please do come along at FPL Meets on Twitter. And if you do want to come and you're not on Twitter and whatever, do pop us an email at WGT, sorry, at who, no, there's no app for an email address. What's wrong with me? Who got the assist at gmail.com, and I will get that arranged for you to arrive as well. You come and find me. I'm sure you know what I look like, but if you don't, just ask around. Is Tom here? Is Who Got the Assist here? And someone will eventually point you in my direction. So we'll be back next week with something a bit more substantial, looking back over the course of this first half of the season, and hopefully a bit more insightful in terms of, I guess, kind of how it's gone and maybe a few sort of trends we've noticed and things we'll take into the next half of the season alongside some World Cup drafts too. And yeah, back on Monday. Cool. All right. Well, hope, Sister June, and we'll speak to you very, very soon. Farewell.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.